There are several websites that I'm aware of, and you may be as well, that you can go to find quotes from people on various subjects. I go to one, for example, that's called thinkexist.com. Another one is called goodreads.com. They're kind of fun to browse through once in a while to see what people have said on. They're indexed by subject or by keyword. You can browse through and see what smart people have said about certain things. Maybe historical folks that you'll recognize or writers. Sometimes they're anonymous, but they're just kind of interesting quotes on various subjects. I was browsing through it the last couple of days, and I found a couple of quotes on the subject of foolishness. Not a real positive kind of a subject, but I want to give some thought to it today. There's a man named Danny Kaye. Some of you who are younger, I see a lot of people nodding, and I see a lot of people saying, what? But younger people may not recognize Danny Kaye. He was an actor, a comedian, and I think a musician. But he made this comment. He said, I wasn't born a fool. It took a lot of hard work to get this way. Another anonymous quote contrasts foolishness with wisdom. It says, a foolish man tells a woman to stop talking. But a wise man tells her that her mouth is extremely beautiful when her lips are closed. Quotes are usually memorable, short statements that give some insight and some perspective into a particular topic. Some are clever, some are helpful, some will get you in trouble. I enjoy reading and browsing through, but I've found, and you probably have too, that the book of Proverbs is the Bible's collection of quotes. There are scores of memory scriptures throughout the Bible, but Proverbs includes short, cleverly worded passages that offer insight and perspective, and they'll never get you in trouble. And we know that the theme of Proverbs is wisdom. And we find that frequently Proverbs will portray this theme by contrasting it with foolishness. In fact, when you get to chapter 9 and work through the rest of the book of Proverbs, where the individual statements are made, or the individual proverbs are given, you'll find, most likely, and I didn't bother to actually count this out, but as I was reading through it, it seemed to me that there are more statements about fools and foolishness than any other topic in the book of Proverbs. And it seems to be something that Solomon was aware of. In order to teach the lesson of wisdom, he provided the contrast. He provided the contrast with foolishness. There's another quote from one of these websites on this topic. It says that wise men profit more from fools than fools from wise men. For the wise men shun the mistakes of fools, but fools do not imitate the successes of the wise. And I think maybe Solomon had that in mind as he was writing this or collecting these proverbs and putting them together, that people who are wise, who people who are growing in wisdom, who are seeking wisdom, can learn a lot from the behavior of people who are foolish because they're growing in wisdom. They're looking for ways to increase it. Fools, on the other hand, pretty much go along oblivious to what else is happening around them. Well, the title I've given to the sermon today is What We Can Learn from Fools. Now, keep in mind that Jesus said that we're not to call anybody a fool. In Matthew 5, he warns against having that harsh of an opinion or attitude toward anyone else. And I'm not talking about labeling a person as a fool. What Jesus was talking about there was condemning someone or writing them off and dismissing them and being judgmental of them on that level. But Scripture tells us or warns us about many different characteristics of foolish people. And if we look at those characteristics, we can learn a great deal. So, what can we learn from fools or from people who do foolish things? Well, in the book of Proverbs, there are several Hebrew words that are translated either fool or foolish or foolishness. And they're very similar. Some of them look very different in the Hebrew structure, the Hebrew alphabet, but they have very similar meanings. And I can just generalize these three or four words that are used throughout the Old Testament. They mean to be thick-headed, arrogant, or dull-minded. Many of the Proverbs that we'll look at, and we'll look at several here in a little bit, about foolishness describe people who are thoughtless, who are stubborn, or who are self-willed. Hopefully that does not describe any of us in a general way, but there are probably times or probably issues in life that we approach this way, about which we might be thoughtless or stubborn or self-willed. There are other proverbs that describe, there are proverbs that describe people who make foolish decisions because they are rebellious and they are rejecting what they should know is right. But there's another whole category of people who do things that are foolish just because they don't know any better. The results are very similar, or at least the actions are very similar, but some are just outright rebellious, others are ignorant. Either way, foolish actions can have serious and, frankly, even deadly consequences. So let's do a quick overview and consider some of the characteristics of a person who is foolish. There are several verses here that we'll see that document what kind of a person he is or she is. In fact, we won't have time to go through all of them because, again, there are dozens, maybe scores of passages in the book of Proverbs alone that have to do with characteristics or describe what a foolish person is like, how they behave. So if you can find the book of Proverbs, that's where we're going to be this afternoon. You shouldn't have a whole lot of trouble, and I assume that most of you can count to 31. So that's the number of chapters in Proverbs. We shouldn't have any trouble finding our way around the book. One of the primary characteristics that we see about a person who is foolish is that he is quarrelsome and easily angered, kind of always ready to fight. Always ready to argue. That's a characteristic of a person who is behaving in a foolish way. John 14, verse 7. I'm sorry, John. See, I just told you. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Proverbs 14, 17 says that a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The first part of that proverb is very plainly stated, that that one who is quick-tempered is behaving in a foolish way. People often get themselves into trouble by reacting too quickly, by responding in a way that's just based on habit, and they just immediately go from 0 to 60 in terms of being angry. And they are not shy about letting someone know. Chapter 20, verse 3. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Says, it's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. The honorable thing is to find a peaceful way to resolve if there's any kind of a disagreement, to not strive with or be quick to be bothered by someone else. But any fool can start a quarrel. I've known people, you probably have too, who seem to do that just for recreation. They kind of like to get people stirred up. And in a conversation, they might be the one who's looking for a way to get something like that started. I have noticed that in, among my brothers, each of us at times, with six boys living under the same roof, someone's always picking a fight and looking for some trouble. And if you want to, you can create an argument over almost anything. And that's what foolish people tend to do, or they're quick at least to pick up on something to argue about. Chapter 14, verse 16. And we're going to go through a lot of different verses here very quickly because there's so many passages in the book of Proverbs that deal with the subject of foolishness. Proverbs 14, 16 says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." This is the arrogant quality that people sometimes have, that it's kind of foolish when they behave this way, that they're so certain that they are right and that nothing else can be considered because they're the ones who know the answer. They're the ones who everyone else should listen to. The New International Version puts that verse this way: "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless." You see these kind of characteristics often around people that you might come across or people that you may have to deal with. They just are always looking for something to, or always upset about something and easily angered. Proverbs 12, 16. 12:16 says, "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." Or the New Revised Standard Version says it this way: "Fools show their anger at once, but the prudent ignore an insult." Again, people sometimes are very short-fused, overly sensitive, and they will take other people's comments in a way that they need to fight back against. They're hot-headed, they're reckless, they're easily insulted, and quick to quarrel about what someone else has said. Those are behaviors of a person who is being foolish, behaving in a foolish way. Notice something else about a foolish person. People who behave in a foolish way always have all the answers. They always have the answers. Let's look at a couple of Proverbs that illustrate that principle. Chapter 15, verse 2. Proverbs 15, verse 2 says that the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. You know, it's kind of a situation where people don't want to be bothered by the facts. Don't bother trying to tell me what you think, because I know what's right, and there's no need to trouble me, and I'll tell you all about it. 18, verse 2. Proverbs 18, 2. Says that a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. People who behave in a foolish way have this opinionated approach, this self-will that kind of dominates everything else, and they don't really care to learn anything. They're too busy talking. They don't care to gain what other people may have to offer them. They want to express themselves. We've all had conversations with people who are like that, who not only dominate a conversation, but do so in such an opinionated way that no one else knows anything about any topic that happens to come up, because they happen to have all the information that we need. verses 6 and 7 here in the same chapter. Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. That's a pretty strong statement about those who tend to, again, have spout off or act as if they have all the answers, and we see the trouble that it gets them into. They seem to be, again, looking for a fight, and their opinions are more important than what anyone else might think about anything. These are maybe extreme type statements, but I think, again, if we're careful, if we're thoughtful, we can see that there are things that foolish people do that we would want to be very careful that we not fall into, that we not have these kinds of patterns. And we talk about this today not so much to judge anybody else, but to consider ourselves and to be aware that it's not difficult to fall into patterns of behavior that really are not very helpful to others. Chapter 10, verse 14. Chapter 10, verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Or as it says in the New Revised Standard, the wise lay up knowledge, but the babbling of a fool brings ruin near. Pretty clear, you know, that people who are quick to dismiss others and their opinions and their knowledge, rather than looking to learn and to gain knowledge, the word babbling is pretty descriptive. It's the babbling of people that is this foolish behavior that they're expressing. You're all familiar with Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. I won't turn there, but you can jot it down if you want. But it's where it says that, answer not a fool according to his folly. And then next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. You know, sometimes you're better off ignoring someone who's speaking in a foolish way, but sometimes you really need to give an answer so that they won't think that they're wise. So there's a principle there. It has to do, again, with the tendency that a foolish person has to have all the answers and to always be the one who's going to be in charge of a conversation in that sense. Chapter 29, verse 9. Similar to what we just were referring to there in chapter 26, we find here in 29, verse 9, says that if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there's no peace. And when a person who tries to reason with one who is behaving foolishly, they're going to be one of two responses. He's either going to get angry at you, or he's going to laugh at you. Either way, nobody wins. So it's a tendency that we see. And we've probably all had conversations that ended in that way, that you try to set something straight and you're rejected hands down. And we remember the proverb, chapter 18, verse 24. This is one that people often paraphrase. And it's a lot of truth in it as well. 18, okay, I jotted down the wrong reference there. This is the one that says that if a person is quiet, then he'll be perceived as being wise. Even a fool, when he holds his tongue, is perceived to be wise. and I'll have to thank you, being the fool that I am. I've got the wrong one down here. It's in chapter 17, verse 24. Told me it's 29:17. We'll look it up later. Thank you. Okay. Another thought along this line that Solomon shares with us is in chapter 24, verse 7. I think I got this one. Chapter 24, verse 7. I kind of like this one because, you know, for all of the ways that we've seen all these other verses that talk about how foolish people talk so much and they want to give you their opinion and they won't listen to anybody else's. They don't want to listen. They don't want to learn. When it comes right down to it, though, chapter 24, verse 7 says, "Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate." See, at the gate is where the elders of the city would gather and they would make decisions and they would provide leadership for the community. This is where the people would gather to share true wisdom. But it says that in the presence of people who truly are wise, who truly have wisdom, he has nothing to say. So what comes right down to it, a person who thinks that he has wisdom has nothing to offer in those situations where wisdom might actually be would be useful, would be helpful. See, these are, again, a number of verses. We go through them very quickly, but they make each makes a simple point. And this group of Proverbs relates to us how that people, generally speaking, who have so much to say and are so expert on every topic are generally behaving in a foolish way. They would be much more wisdom would be expressed by being quiet and learning. One of the hazards of foolishness is that it becomes habitual. And it becomes a repeated pattern. I suppose that those who behave in the way that they do think that they're being wise or they don't see themselves often as others do, but it can become a pattern of life that is permanent, part of their character. Look at chapter 27, verse 22. Proverbs 27, verse 22. Says, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. In other words, the proverb is warning that you can take a handful of grain and you can put it in a bowl and take this pestle or this little hard tool and grind the grain into flour. But if you took a foolish person and ground him up like you would a handful of grain, you're not going to remove the foolishness from his character. It becomes something that is permanently part. It's just the way that they are. It's like any other habit, I suppose. If you repeat it often enough, it just becomes part of you, and it's difficult, almost impossible, perhaps, to remove. So something for us to be aware of, that, you know, this kind of behavior can become part of our character and just the way that we are. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew, phrases it this way. The Septuagint says, if you scourge a fool in the assembly, dishonoring him, you would not remove his folly. So even if a person were publicly punished in some way for being foolish, the way it's translated here, it indicates that you would not remove, he wouldn't learn the lesson of that he should from the foolishness that is in him. So that's kind of that kind of an explanation about foolishness, you have to kind of do little think about it a bit and figure out what the analogy is. But there's another one that's much more plain. In fact, you're going to go, ew. Chapter 26, verse 11. This says the same thing a little more bluntly. Proverbs 26, 11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Ew. Gross. The thing is, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do things that are foolish. We find ourselves embarrassed, and sometimes we'll do something or maybe say something, and we kind of stop and look around and hope nobody saw. It's just human for us to make mistakes and to do things that are maybe silly, make a bad decision. But a foolish person doesn't learn. I've heard it said before that it's fine to make a mistake, no problem. Make a mistake, but don't repeat the mistake. The foolish person goes back to it over and over and over again, not learning from the experience. It's like that definition we often use of insanity, that we do the same things looking for a different result. So we have to be careful that foolishness does not become something that we ingrain into our pattern, into the way that we live. Chapter 16, verse 22. Again, makes a similar point about how it can become a permanent part of the person that we are. Proverbs 16, 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. It's foolish to try to correct a person who's foolish. We came across a similar thought a little bit ago. The New Living Translation puts it this way, that discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. Why? Well, because it's not going to change. Even if they're publicly dishonored, they're not going to change. They'll be like the dog going back again and again, even after he's been sick. That's how Scripture describes the danger of foolishness becoming a part of a person's character. So as we make mistakes in our lives, as we recognize that, you know, maybe I've thought some things, or I've done some things, or I've had some attitudes, and I finally come to understand that, yeah, that was really dumb. That was wrong. That was foolish. Then we learn from those experiences that we have, and we move forward. There's one solution or antidote for foolishness that is emphasized throughout the book of Proverbs. We looked at just a few examples of the kinds of characteristics that foolish people portray, and there are others. You can just read through the Proverbs and just make a little note or a little list of the places where fools or foolishness is noted. And you'll find dozens and dozens of examples. Each one of them, again, is a contrast to wisdom. If we don't do what the foolish person does, we learn the lesson from what the foolish person does. But there's one solution that is emphasized throughout. And it's pointed out at the very beginning, and then emphasized as you continue. Chapter 1, verse 7. Wise instruction is the antidote for foolishness. The one thing that fools have in common is that they will not listen to instruction. They will not listen to what others have to say. It's because they're too angry. It's because they're too arrogant. It's because they're too busy defending themselves. It's because they think they're the one who has the answers. A foolish person is not willing to receive instruction. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the beginning. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Eternal is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the core of the problem. That's how a person gets into this pattern of foolish behavior in the first place, is they're not willing to accept or receive wisdom and instruction. Pretty soon it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling or a repeating pattern over and over and over. They just simply are not willing to receive it. Verse 22, chapter 1. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. A foolish person rejects information that could be helpful to them, especially when it comes in the form of correction or setting them straight. The word despise that we saw in verse 7 means to hold in contempt or to view as insignificant. And that's not unusual in the way that people will at times receive any kind of input, any kind of suggestion or specific correction. They hold it in contempt, or they just dismiss it as something that doesn't matter. It's that tendency that we saw as one of the definitions of foolishness, to be thick-headed, to not be willing to receive instruction. Chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. We all tend to think that what we think is correct. We all tend to think that what we have concluded has all this justification or reasoning or all these reasons to back it up, and what we believe is correct. And so we justify our own ways. We justify what we think. We defend what we think. And the person who is foolish is not willing to receive the knowledge that he or she needs. And so it's important that we be willing to learn and accept wisdom when it is placed before us. Some people don't even recognize wisdom. They don't realize that something would be helpful to them. Chapter 17, Proverbs 17, verse 24. Proverbs 17, verse 24. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. In other words, wisdom is right there. It is something that people who have understanding can see. It's obvious. It's true. It's helpful to them. But a foolish person is oblivious to what's right in front of him, what's obvious. He's looking past it. He's looking someplace else when wisdom is presented right before him. So it's critically important that we be willing to receive instruction, that we be willing to receive counsel, that we recognize when something is useful and helpful to us, and not dismiss it or not think of it as being unworthy and justifying our own beliefs and thoughts instead. But here's the problem. Here's the challenge, chapter 13, verse 20. Really, when you stop and think about it, everybody learns from other people. We all learn what we do from our own reasoning, but we also are affected by what other people tell us, what other people do. There are strong influences in the lives of every one of us. In chapter 13, verse 20, is along that same principle. It says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. If we walk with people who will give us the instruction and the guidance that we need, then we're on safe ground. We'll be pointed in the right direction. We'll get people who are willing to watch out for us, and we can watch out for them. But the problem is identifying who is wise. You see, people will follow their peers, or they will follow some other, whatever teacher appeals to them, and choose their wisdom. And that's what they'll base their lives upon. People often choose foolish counselors, people who really can't help them. If we're hanging out with, if we're associating with, if we're being influenced by people who are giving us bad advice, but we think of them as having wisdom, then that's going to be something that only reinforces our own mistakes, our own poor judgment. So learning is important, but it's also important to learn from the right sources, to learn from people who have wisdom to offer. And often, that's a subjective opinion, isn't it? People like to pick and choose who they're going to believe. If we sincerely base our choice of a counselor on God's word, and that a wise counselor will lead us in God's way and not lead us astray, then that simplifies it a great deal. But choosing the right counselor is certainly part of the problem. Something else that the Proverbs point out is that we all start out foolish. We all start from that position. Now, we're making a bit of a transition here. We've given several examples of people who behave in a foolish way. And each of these examples is of people who are choosing and should know better than to make the choice they are. This is based on the kind of foolishness we've seen so far is people who either are just behaving rebelliously or are too thick-headed or just are not willing to receive the instruction that they should receive. And because of that, they're behaving in a foolish way and they make poor decisions. But I said earlier that there are two different kinds of foolish actions. There are those that are purposeful, intentional, and we should know better. And there are those that are done in ignorance because we don't know better. So let's talk about that second category. It also has to do with, again, where we all start from. We all start out foolish. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22:15. It says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Children are bound up in, overrun by, foolishness. The word bound up means deeply ingrained. It's just part of where their mind thinks. But this foolishness that is described here is not a matter of choosing to be arrogant or choosing to be ignorant or choosing to rebel. It's a matter of not yet understanding, simply not knowing any better. So when we are young, we need to learn. We need to be taught. We need the rod of correction to drive foolishness out. Now, I'm not going to send parents home to start beating on their kids. What is the rod of discipline? How is it that a person who is younger can begin to move past this phase of simplicity or not understanding how to make the right choices? The rod of discipline does not mean necessarily corporal punishment. The rod of discipline does not mean to beat the foolishness out of our children. Remember in Psalm 23, David wrote that the Lord is my shepherd, and he gives this analogy of he pictures himself as a sheep being tended to by the shepherd, by Jesus Christ. And he says that down about verse 4, that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If the rod is only used in a way to punish or to hit or to hurt, then how is that a means of providing comfort? We need to understand a little bit about what a rod does, how a shepherd uses a rod. A shepherd's rod is, first of all, different from the staff. The staff you recognize from all the cartoons you've seen. It's the shepherd with this big hooked stick that goes to maybe 2 feet above his head. And that's the staff, and he can use that to work with his sheep. The rod is a sturdy piece of wood, maybe a piece of a thick part of a tree branch or a limb. And that rod is used in a number of different ways. It's used to fight off predators, to use to protect the sheep from others who might try to harm it. It's used to clear a path so that the sheep has a safe place to walk. And it's used to guide and direct the sheep. If it's headed in a certain direction, the shepherd can just simply touch it on the shoulder and steer it in a different direction. Now, if the sheep, and I've never seen this, but if the sheep gets surly, then I suppose the shepherd could give it a whack, get its attention. But for the most part, the rod of discipline, the rod of correction, is intended as something that is provides the security of direction, of instruction, that provides protection, and that leads that sheep in the right direction. And so this is what parents are to do with children. To show them, to teach them, to instruct them. Now, we just read that instruction is not easy to receive. People tend to reject it and to despise it or to not be willing to receive it. But that's what parents are to provide for children. That's what adults are to provide for younger people, instruction. Now, sometimes correction, as is put here, can include a rebuke. It can include sharp words to provide to show someone if they're not behaving or thinking in a right way. It can include that, but that's not the primary use. Primarily, it means to instruct. It means to guide. It means to provide that instruction. And so this is something that parents have the opportunity to do, and adults do in working with younger people to help them to learn some of the things that they need to know so they can grow in wisdom, so that they can grow beyond this early stage of not having complete understanding of how they should live. Chapter 122 we've already looked at, but let's look back at it again. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? The word simple here has a similar meaning to foolish. But it implies people who make foolish decisions because they don't yet know better. The same word in the Hebrew can be translated naive. Again, sometimes we'll take that word as an insult. That's not what's intended. We all have to learn. You know, you can easily trick a five-year-old. You can tell him something that's just some incredibly strange lie, and you can trick them. They'll believe it because you're older, you're bigger, and they believe you, they trust you. It's because they're naive, because they haven't learned yet. You know, a seven-year-old or a nine-year-old doesn't know how to choose food that's healthy, doesn't know when to go to bed, doesn't know what to watch on television. And so they receive instruction, guidance, standards, a foundation for their life. This is what the foolishness is that is bound up in the heart of a child. It's a matter of not understanding. Now, certainly children sometimes do things that are dumb, and so they need to be corrected and brought back around to not do things that are harmful and that are just silly. But the deeper level of this is to show the importance of young people being willing to receive instruction and parents being willing to give instruction to provide the direction that young people need. Chapter 29, verse 17. Proverbs 29, 17. Says, correct your son. That's the rod of discipline. That's the instruction and the security of values and of laying rules, setting rules and boundaries and establishing how you desire for your son, your daughter, to conduct themselves. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. When parents teach and children learn, there's peace in the family. Pretty simple principle. But it's a responsibility that falls on both. Parents have the responsibility to provide that direction. Parents are always parents. Parents have the responsibility. Parents are the adults in the household and must live the right way in order that they can teach the right way. Children, young people have the responsibility to learn, to accept it. So that when both are doing their part, if the son is corrected and the son accepts the correction, then there's peace in the valley. When people have learned to share and to learn from these lessons of wisdom to help deal with foolishness. There's a graphic example of this in Proverbs chapter 7. A very clear lesson along this very line. And we won't read all of it, but we'll look at the gist of the story here. In this section, wisdom is personified. It is as if wisdom is speaking. And it says in chapter 7, verse 6, at the window of my house I looked through my lattice, and I saw the simple. And I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. Now, this was not a stupid person. This was not even a rebellious person. But he was simple. He didn't have the understanding. He had deeply ingrained foolishness. He was naive. He was inexperienced. And wisdom looks down upon this young man who's devoid of, who lacks understanding, and observes as he makes a terrible mistake. The next several verses describe that this young man didn't know how to deal with temptation. It was a lesson he hadn't learned yet. maybe had been taught but hadn't received, or maybe just was not to the point where that lesson had really hit home, and he didn't know how to deal with a very dangerous circumstance. Verse 21 goes on to show that because of the danger, this young man did not know how to deal with. Because he was weak and gullible, he made a disastrous mistake. Describes how an older woman has enticed and seduced him. Verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her. Now, young men are vulnerable to this kind of a situation. And this is a classic example of how a person can be entrapped by his own weakness, his own vulnerability, his own ignorance. In this case, he's seduced in a sexual way. He says that he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know that it would cost his life. Young people can be seduced by any number of things, not just sexual situations. Young people can be seduced by the promise of wealth, by the promise of status, by friendships. People, young or old, can be seduced by what it seems to be something very good and enjoyable, and something that, in some cases, they don't realize will cost their life. It could happen to any one of us. It can happen to the young and inexperienced. It can happen to those who are older and more experienced if they are not on guard against it. But this in particular is about a young person who did not understand how to deal with the circumstance. And he was seduced by it, and it's a destructive thing. You know, we don't get a chance if we're young to say, oops, I didn't know that was going to happen, and then erase everything that just, all the damage that was just done. It doesn't work that way. When we make a mistake, we pay the consequence. And sometimes we may not be prepared to deal with those things. That's when we need to find some help so that we can learn, so that we can see the other side of a circumstance. Life can be pretty difficult. You know, it's a saying, and I think it's maybe applies that, you know, we, in a lot of ways, we're working without a net. Okay? If we fall, we're going to get hurt. If we make a mistake, whether we're young or whether we're and don't know any better, or whether we're older and should know better, the consequences are still going to be there. Foolishness takes a toll, whether it's because of ignorance or whether it's because of rebellion. There's an easy way to learn, and there's a difficult way. Proverbs 19:25. Proverbs 19:25. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. If we walk with wise men, as we saw in Proverbs 13:20, then we'll be learning the lessons we need to know. We'll be put on the direction and the course that we need to travel. If we receive that rod of discipline or correction, the instruction in life, then we'll be on the right track. If not, then we're setting ourselves up to learn lessons the hard way. The New Living Translation puts this verse in these words: If you punish a mocker, the simple-minded will learn a lesson. Okay? If this rod of correction is used in some way that does require a severe punishment, or if there is some terrible consequence that a person falls into, then even the simple will learn from that experience. If a person is foolish and simple-minded and they must learn the hard way, then that's how they're going to learn. But if you reprove, if you instruct, if you warn, if you give direction to a wise person, they'll be the wiser. They won't have to go through the difficult experience to learn the lesson. I want to look at just one other verse and we'll conclude for today. Back in Proverbs chapter 2. The second chapter here in Proverbs. We've been talking about the negative side a lot. Warning about foolishness, but again, we understand that the flip side of foolishness is wisdom. And if we exercise wisdom, then we're not going to fall into the trap and the difficulties and the struggles that foolishness will bring into our lives. So let's turn it back around and look at that other side and be reminded, chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks of perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice in doing evil, so you're protected from all these things. Those who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and are devious in their paths. When we accept wisdom into our heart, when we live in a way that is not the foolish or the simple or the ignorant, and we apply the lessons that we're given and taught that are shared with us, then we will guard against foolishness. We will guard against the consequences that sometimes are very cruel, very difficult, that foolishness can bring into our lives. Young and old alike, we all make mistakes. We all do things that we look back on and say, well, that was dumb. That was foolish. Why did I think that? Why did I do that? Why didn't I see that coming? Another quote from one of those websites. A man observed that, one of these people observed that every man is a total fool for at least 5 minutes a day. Wisdom consists in not exceeding that limit. We goof, we stumble, we make mistakes, but God is merciful and God is forgiving. However, He has put into our lives a law of consequence. It's important that we recognize that we understand that foolishness, again, will exact a very difficult price at some point in our life. So whether we're young or whether we're older, we need to be willing to receive instruction and be on guard against ignorant and arrogant and rebellious behavior.